In peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Today is considered Low Sunday. If you compare this Sunday from last Sunday and all the services, obviously it's a bit low. I mean, Easter is the highlight of our festivities. Easter is about the resurrection. And here we are a week later, hearing the gospel from John. The disciples are afraid. And so there's a contrast. People talk about Low Sunday because attendance isn't that high, but also because Thomas, when he saw the Lord 8 days later, perhaps said, "Lo and behold," and cling to Jesus. So there's this concept of the appearance of Jesus and also the concept of the fact that most Christians don't come out on this Sunday, or only those who come out on Easter don't come out today. About a year ago, Easter, I gave an envelope to the call committee because I got to do the children's sermon, and it was a little bit of an effect, and I gave a sealed envelope to Fred, and I said, "Don't open it." And I said to him this morning, I said, "Did you ever open that envelope 12 months later?" And he said, "Yes." And a few people asked me this week since I'm leaving, "Hey, what did you write in that envelope?" So here is what I wrote. Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." There's no way in the world I would know the name of John Hopkins. No one would. Only God, right? So I put Proverbs 3:5, which is true. There's no way in the world I could lose on that one. And then so he opened it last week. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So I think of that in relationship to this morning's gospel. Jesus is risen, and a week later, Thomas doesn't believe it. The disciples are afraid. They certainly are not trusting. They're not trusting at all. In fact, they're so afraid that they are locked behind doors the evening of that first Easter. And a week later, 8 days later, they're still locked behind those doors. Now, I grew up in Connecticut. Back in the 70s and the 80s, we never really locked our doors. My dad would go around at night, maybe lock the doors, but we lived in a place where you really weren't afraid. Then, late 80s and 90s, people began locking their doors, locking their cars. Why do you lock your doors? Because you don't trust. That's the reason why you do it. You don't trust that someone isn't going to break in. And so because there's this lack of trust or there's lack of fear, you lock the doors. And so here we see the disciples on that very first evening of Easter, afraid, not trusting God, probably confused. And as Betsy said this morning, they probably thought, "My fate is going to be the fate of Jesus. They're going to come after us." And so they were full of fear, not faith. And they weren't trusting. But then you hear the other reading where Peter and the disciples get up and they speak with great boldness. And they say, "It's better that we obey God rather than man." What happened? They had a transformation. What happened in that room was remarkable. And what I mean by that is that we're talking about it over 2,000 years later. Remarkable. Remarkable means that people will talk about it. People will share it. Because there has been a change, there has been a transformation, and it's remarkable, and people share it. So we see something that has happened from that first Easter to the time when Peter gets up and says, "We are not going to obey men, rather, we're going to obey God." He's transformed, and the rest of the apostles. If you were here last Sunday, maybe in the second service, you heard me said that there were eyewitnesses that witness Jesus' resurrection. They touched him. They ate with him. They spent time with him after his death, after the resurrection, and they were still alive when St. Paul was writing from Ephesus in the year 55. There were people that knew him, just as there are people here that knew Pastor Stammel and know for sure that he also existed. So what happened on that first Easter week? It was a miracle, but more than a miracle, something that was remarkable because they saw the Lord. And then they began to trust. They trust that that God was in control. But then you look at Gamaliel, the Pharisee, and then you look at Thomas. There's a contrast between these two characters. What has Thomas said? Do you remember? Not going to believe. I'm just not going to believe until I see it. Until I reach out my hand and touch him, see the nail marks, I'm not going to believe. What's he doing? What's Thomas doing? He's leaning on his own understanding. He's saying to himself, I'm not going to believe. I have to see it. I have to lean on my understanding. I have to witness this thing. Now, a lot of preachers on this Sunday focus on the fact that Thomas doubted and we shouldn't doubt. But all of the disciples were in the same state. They were in the same lot. And so many times in our Christian life, we are as well. We doubt things when trials happen and tribulations happen and things don't go our way. We wonder, God, can you really be God? Can you really be in control? And we hear in the other reading that this is the life of faith, that there are going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations, and our faith is going to be tested because it's more precious than gold. But then we look at this Pharisee, this man by the name of Gamaliel. He sees what's going on. He sees this movement of the apostles and specifically Peter witnessing the resurrection. And he says to the group, and he's a Pharisee, he's not a bad guy, but he says, mostly moved by the Holy Spirit, wait a minute. Don't be too hasty here. If this movement is of man, it will fail. And then he gives examples of other movements, of other people who have risen up and have tried to gather people towards a movement. And because it's man-made, because there was no trust, it just fell flat. But then he says, if this is of God, then we can't fight against it because it's God's will. Here is a Pharisee, just like the Pharisee that came to Jesus at night, recognizes that he trusts in God and he does not lean on his own understanding. This is remarkable. The church, the council, the school, the principal, the Christians, the families that are remarkable are people who trust in God with all of their heart, lean not on their own understanding, and in all their ways they acknowledge him. It's easy to do the other. It's easy to try to reason. It's easy to try to figure it all out. It's easy to be like Thomas and try to say, only if I touch, only if I see, then I will be satisfied. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In the last 5 years, I've had many stories, and they've been mostly true. And I usually say, this is a true story. But I'd like to close with a story that's not true at all. I heard it a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was amazing. It's a parable, it's a story, but it's a story between two people. And I'm not going to act it out. You almost have to use your own imagination. But there are two characters. One is a man by the name of Ben, who's the nephew of Uncle Shecky. So we have Uncle Shecky, who's in a nursing home, and he's about to die. And he spent the last 25, 30 years as a comedian, going around the Catskills, entertaining people. He's in a rocking chair, and he just finds out that he only has about 24 hours to live. That's the first character, the main character. And then we have Ben. Ben is the nephew. So Uncle Shecky picks up the phone and calls his nephew Ben. Says, Ben, get here immediately. And Ben says, Uncle Shecky, what's wrong? He says, nephew, I understand that I don't have that much time, and I want to share with you what a remarkable life is like. Okay, I'll be there, Uncle Shecky, as soon as I can, immediately. Ben runs in and says, Uncle Shecky, are you okay? He says, yes, Ben, I'm okay, I'm fine. He says, I want to instill to you as a young comedian what it means to be remarkable so that people will remark about you. Uncle Shecky, I'm all ears. He says, I know, Ben. He says, I've seen that problem since you were a little boy. There's someone in the family that can fix that, but I do digress. Number one, Uncle Shecky says, a man goes into the doctor, knocks on the door, says, doctor, It hurts when I do this. Ben, what's the answer? Ben says, I know, Uncle Shecky, it's simple. Don't do that. That's right, Uncle Ben. Uncle Shecky says, number two. Man goes to work on a Monday morning, and as he's walking into the elevator, he sees a little penguin standing there. He thinks to himself, what do I do with this penguin? So he takes the penguin up to the penthouse suite, and he walks into his boss, and he says, boss, he says, I found this penguin. I don't know what to do with it. The boss looks at him and says, you idiot, take the penguin to the zoo. So the next day, the boss is walking down the street and sees the man with the penguin. And he says to him, I thought you were going to take that penguin to the zoo. Ben, what does he say? He says, I did take the penguin to the zoo. We had so much fun today, we're going to a ball game. Number two. Number three, a woman from Ohio is down in Manhattan. She's walking and she's completely lost. She sees a man with a violin case. And she says to the man, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? Ben, what's the answer? Practice. Practice, practice. Uncle Shecky says, that's it. That's it. That's all it is. Ben says, but Uncle Shecky, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. What does this mean to be remarkable? He says, Ben, number one, if it hurts, stop doing it. Lesson number one. Number two, do what you love and don't listen to authority figures. Number three, practice. And then Uncle Shecky clutches his chest and he says to everybody, good night, everybody. The curtain's going to fall. Drive safe. It's been a pleasure. That's it, Ben. There's only one thing that I would add to that little story. Trust. Proverbs 3:5. What I wrote in that envelope 12 months ago, which is my favorite passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. God bless you.